Well, we just sung victory in Jesus. And I would ask, do you believe that there is victory in Jesus? Because certainly our King has been victorious over sin and death. And because we are His, we share in that wonderful victory. I appreciate all of you being here this morning. It is encouraging to know that you are interested in the things of God and that you want to study from God's word. And we're going to study how we can be victorious over sin. But first, in order for us to be victorious over sin, there is a need. We need to understand that we have to be confident in order to be victorious over sin. And perhaps as sin threatens us daily, we are convinced or we become discouraged, we become weary or we become tired that we cannot overcome sin. Satan throws every temptation at us, and instead of deflecting it, we become enslaved to it. But this morning, I want all of that to change, because in Romans chapter 6, Paul gives us an encouragement and confidence that we can have to win the victory over sin. Please hear this. We are not victorious over sin because we are strong. We are victorious over sin because Jesus Christ has been victorious for us. And because we are His, we share in that victory. As we know, Jesus faced the same struggles we did. There were times when He was tired, times where He did not want to deny Himself. But yet through it all, He overcame. And ladies and gentlemen, our motivation is Jesus, and we need to look to Him. And so the motivation for this sermon is that you can overcome sin, and don't allow Satan to discourage you and to think you cannot. And so in Romans chapter 6, to give a brief layout of Romans chapter 6, Paul's argument in Romans chapter 6 that shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This originates from people's misunderstanding of grace, that people perceive God's grace as a license to sin. And they believe Paul's statement in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, that where he says that God justifies the ungodly. They had the mindset sort of how our world has the mindset, that if I sin, well, God is just going to forgive me. And He's just going to justify me so I can continue in my sin. And then in Romans chapter 5, Paul then says that when sin, as sin abounded or sin entered into the world, that sin increased all the more. But when sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And the people had the mindset that if I continue in my sin, then that's a good thing. And God's glory and His grace is going to be shown. And what Paul does, he is astounded by that mentality. Paul did not contradict or modify his teachings of Romans chapter 4 and 5. God does justify the ungodly. Where sin abounded, grace did increase all the more. But the purpose of Romans 4 and 5 is God establishing grace through the reign of Jesus Christ. And Paul, he would seek to correct his audience. And perhaps there were critics and many misguided believers who perceived that grace was a license to sin. And this is what Jude said in Jude chapter 1, verse 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Jude says right there that there were people who turned God's grace into licentiousness. And so, how can we overcome sin? Let's first begin reading in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Though even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing we must do if we're going to overcome sin is that we have to remember who we once were and what we once served, that we obeyed sin's desires, that we did what was gratifying to the flesh. And as a result, it did not make us more holy or more righteous. Instead, it made us more exceedingly sinful. And so Paul uses phrases such as old self, body of sin. We were slaves of sin. He says sin reigned in our mortal bodies and that we obeyed its lust and that we presented our members as instruments of unrighteousness. What Paul is doing, he is emphasizing who we once were, that sin was our master and we obeyed his desires. And the people needed to understand that this is who they once were and they could not continue in their sin. Why? Because it was a moral contradiction to what they had come to be. But even more than that, their sin led them to spiritual death. It led them to spiritual separation from God. And so Paul says in verse 19 of Romans chapter 6, he says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Notice verse 21. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. Paul is telling the brethren that your sin led you to a spiritual separation from the Lord. That sin separated us from God. And it continues to do that. So Paul would put it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now at work, and the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. When we serve sin, ladies and gentlemen, it does not lead to holiness. It leads to lawlessness and further lawlessness. And what Paul is going to emphasize at the end of Romans 6 is that the wages of sin is death. And we need to remember that. Remember who you once were. But not only that, in order to overcome sin, ladies and gentlemen, we need to remember that we are justified in Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, he who has died is freed from sin. That is the idea of freedom, is the idea of justification. Freedom is the idea of justification, that we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that means we are free, and that means we are no longer reaping the benefits of our sin. Notice Paul says in Romans 3, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He would also say that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. And in Romans 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. We are justified in Jesus Christ, and it is not by our own doing. It is not by our own righteousness, but it is by the precious blood of Christ. But God didn't just stop there. God didn't just justify us, ladies and gentlemen. God also made us alive to him. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We obeyed sin's desires. But God, in all of his grace and all of his mercy, made us alive together with him. Notice the phrases that Paul uses to describe us living to God now. He says that we were raised to walk in newness of life, and that we will be in the likeness of Christ's resurrection, and that we are to live to him, and that Christ lives to God, and so we ought to present ourselves to God. We are no longer who we used to be. We are alive in Jesus Christ because Jesus died a certain death, and because he died of that certain death, we have died to sin and we live a life fully to God. So now that means that God's purposes are our purposes, that God's ways are our ways, that his priorities are our priorities. And this is a mindset that the believers and that we must have. It is a Christ-driven mindset. It is a mental resolve that we have renounced sin and ungodliness, and we have joined ourselves to the holiness of Christ. And because Jesus died for us and he lives to God, we share that same life with him. But Paul put it this way in Colossians 3:1. Notice this. He says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Paul is saying the same thing that he said in Romans chapter 6. And because God has raised us up with Christ, and that we are seated with him in the heavenly places, we are no longer to live for ourselves, but our lives are lived to God, because we are in Jesus Christ. But I also want you to notice that our justification and our salvation was not our doing, but it was God's doing. Notice Paul says in verse 4 of Romans 6, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, here it is, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So what Paul is saying, that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and this was God's will. This was his eternal plan and purpose. And what he did because of raising you, he brought you to him. And now you are to live your life for Christ. And it is God's doing, and it is his grace and his glory that is seen in what he has done in our lives. And so Paul would put it this way in Romans 4, verse 22. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited. As those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgression, and notice, and was raised because of our justification. That God has raised Jesus, not just to manifest his power over sin and death, but he has raised Jesus so that we can be justified and that we are set free from our sin. That is the God that we serve, ladies and gentlemen. So I would ask you, what did your baptism mean to you? Did you understand that when you were baptized into Christ, that you committed yourself to a life of holiness, that you were baptized and you renounced sin and you joined yourself to Christ? Verse 8 says, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. God, through our faith, through our obedience of the gospel, raised us up with Christ. And as a result, we are to continually live our lives to the purposes of God, just as Christ lives forever to God. And so when sin threatens you, and when it becomes harder and you become weary, don't give up. Don't let Satan discourage you. When you get knocked down, just get back up, because we cannot be useful to the master when we're knocked down. As Paul put it in Colossians 3:3, set your mind on things of heaven, and not on earth. And when you do that, you will realize that your purposes is to serve God and His purposes. But lastly, if we're going to overcome sin, we need to realize what we're to be. That we are to be instruments of righteousness. And I do not want us to miss this point. If we don't take anything from this lesson, this is what Paul is trying to get the believers to see. So notice with me. He says, beginning in verse 11, "Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Paul wants the brethren to see that you have died. And as a result of your death, you need to present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Now, the motivation that he gave was all of what he talked about in verses 1 through 13. And now he comes to his point, and now he gives the application. So now what? "Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and consider yourselves alive to God." Notice he tells them, he gives them two negatives. He says, "Do not allow sin to be your master by obeying its desires." Again, he says, "Do not go on presenting the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness." He is getting right at the heart of the believer's contradiction. And he is saying that you need to make up in your mind, you need to resolve in your mind what you are doing. That you have died and your old life is hidden with Christ and God, and now you must live to Him. And you must be faithful to His purposes. So in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, Paul would say, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, and by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You may have come here this morning and you feel as if that you cannot overcome sin. And you're hurt and you're weary and you're tired and it's hard. And I understand that. But I'm so glad you came, because Paul is telling us that we can overcome sin. And that we don't have to be discouraged, and we don't have to give in to what the world says that we can't do. That we can overcome sin. All we must do is believe it in our hearts, because it is our faith and it is what our lives depend upon. I want to leave you with what Paul says in Romans 8, beginning in verse 1. And I hope that this will be of encouragement to you. And he says, "There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." I pray that those words and all of what we study will help us in our daily battle with sin. And we need to remember that as Jesus, our Lord, overcame sin and death, we can as well. Maybe there's someone here this morning who recognizes that you are outside of Christ, and that you recognize that you have lived a life of sin and you want to become obedient to the gospel. We want you to make that decision. More importantly, God wants you to make that decision. And so if that is you, and if we can help you in any way, come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.